chat about what went down last night and what stood out and what we can expect going into the weekend. We're joined now by longtime NFLer and current NFL Network analyst. Back on Overdrive here is Brian Baldinger. How you doing, Brian?
I'm good to be with you guys. I'm doing fine. Yeah. I'm in here in Stillwater, Oklahoma, getting ready for this game tomorrow night.
So you're generally down in the Philly area, though, I believe.
I live in Philly, yeah.
Okay.
I was there last night. Yeah.
Any surprise that they were booing the team at halftime? I loved it personally, but how did you feel about it?
Well, they stunk up the place in the first half. So, you know, the fans reacted. I mean, they unveiled the banner for their first and only Super Bowl championship, you know, before kickoff. But, you know, fans were looking for a better product on the field in the first half. So that's what Philadelphia does. And, you know, rightfully so. They didn't play well in the first half.
Well, they figured it out in the second half, or at the very least, the Falcons gave them that opportunity because Atlanta goes 1-for-9 in the red zone. Everyone's focused on Matt Ryan, Julio Jones, and how they just simply can't connect. We know how the season ended for Atlanta last year. It was deja vu last night. Do you have a theory on why Matt Ryan, who won the MVP 2 years ago, cannot figure out a way to be efficient in the red zone?
Well, I mean, it was really kind of a story all night long. I mean, they went down there on the opening drive of the game. They couldn't run it against the Eagles. They tried 3 times from the 1 yard line. They couldn't make it. They couldn't throw it against them. And they came down to the final drive and, same situation. They couldn't execute. You know, they weren't good up front. Fletcher Cox beats a double team, you know, knocks the hell out of Matt Ryan on third down. You know, I do think, you know, Julio Jones had 3 touchdown catches the whole season last year. You know, and he came away with none last night. I do think they try to force it to him. The Eagles basically double-teamed him every time he was inside, and they still try to get the ball to him. I mean, somebody else has to win, whether it's Austin Hooper or Mohamed Sanu or, you know, I mean, credit the Eagles. They were better up front than the Falcons were, but, you know, they called some bizarre plays. They called a play for Devontae Freeman, you know, one-on-one, they got what they wanted, but he's just a tough throw to. I mean, he's 5'8", just a small target down there, you know, and a tough throw for Matt Ryan. So, I mean, they had their opportunities, but I can't really pinpoint one thing. I mean, it was a little bit of everything, to be honest with you, for Atlanta to come away with 0 points so many times down there.
You're talking about Julio Jones, and there was a play last night where is it going to be an ongoing thing throughout the season? What's a catch? What's not a catch? I mean, you watch it time and time again. You're thinking every sport wants to see offense. They want to see people creating more things. To have that not a catch, is this going to be an ongoing problem?
Well, it took all 3 quarters of the first game for it to be a controversy. I mean, Terry McCauley just left the field as one of the best referees in the NFL, and he's the NBC referee in the booth with you know, with Collinsworth and Al Michaels, and he thought it was a catch after. And this is after looking at replay and, you know, instant replay and all that stuff that they did. They came away with no catch. You know, it's going to be an ongoing thing. I mean, I don't think the rule has been cleared up at all. And so you could easily make the case that that's a catch, but if it's ruled incomplete, maybe there's just not enough visual evidence there for them to, you know, make it a catch. But the way the rule was described in their new language this year, that's supposed to be a catch.
With Brian Baldinger of the NFL Network, looking ahead to some other games on the docket this upcoming weekend. We're just talking about the Bills, and they finally make the playoffs for the first time in almost 20 years, first time in this century.
Yeah.
And now it kind of feels like they're gearing up to take at least a step back, if not a couple. And they're in Baltimore, and people are raving about this Ravens defense and how they can get after it. And the Bills' O-line, they're going to have struggles anyway. And Nathan Peterman is now their quarterback. How ugly do you think it could get for the Bills?
Well, I mean, the last time the Bills, you know, offense went out there, you know, as an offense, it was against Cincinnati, and it was ugly. You know, I mean, Josh Allen just got the stuffing knocked out of him. And on and on and on. I mean, they couldn't block anybody up front. And now they'll get their starting center back and their left tackle. Maybe that will make a difference. But I don't think they're very good up front. I don't think they addressed their offensive line in the offseason. And so it can be tough. I mean, that Baltimore defensive front, that's the strength of their whole team. They constantly have tried to upgrade that front. and it could be ugly. I mean, we saw Nate Peterman, you know, in one half against San Diego last year, throw five interceptions. I don't think he's going to do that. He played pretty well in preseason. I think it's the best option. I would put Josh Allen out there. I thought the signing of A.J. McCarron was a little ridiculous. You know, he started four games in his whole life. I didn't see how that was going to be any kind of solution. But anyways, I think it could be a tough day for Buffalo. Maybe Shady McCoy didn't play in the preseason. Maybe he make a difference. Maybe Shady will get after it. Say, circa 2013 when they won the rushing title, that would help a lot. I think defensively Buffalo is going to be pretty good. I don't think Baltimore is great on offense. They were the worst passing offense in football last year. I think they match up real well with them, but I think it's going to be a long, hard day for Buffalo's offense.
Where are you at with the Patriots? Are you waiting for them to dismantle at some point?
No. No, God, no. Not at all. I mean, I haven't seen anything. The last time I saw Tom Brady play a real football game, he threw for 500 yards. And that was without throwing it to the ground in the first half of the game. I don't find they're going to dismantle. I think they're going to be a good, solid football team. I mean, I think they got to figure out, like they always do, they spend the first 2 weeks of the season trying to figure out what they need and what needs to be fixed, and then they kind of address it. And so we'll see, you know, what needs to be fixed. But I think Brady and Gronk will be the same, and I think they'll have a different game plan every single week. And the coach is really, really good, and the quarterback hasn't slowed down at all. I think the Patriots are the team to beat in the AFC East for sure, and maybe the whole AFC.
John Gruden finally back on the sidelines, first time in a decade, and the Khalil Mack move. Wow, did that put the spotlight on him and the whole organization? What are you expecting out of Gruden this year and the Raiders in general?
I think the offense is going to be pretty good. The right tackle position is going to be manned by a guy that's never played right tackle. But a guy that's played in this league for 12 years, down 10. I think the line could be pretty good. I think beast mode's going to be pretty good. I think your quarterback's going to be a whole lot better than he was last year. I think the offense is going to be kind of bombs away down the field to Jordy Nelson and Amari Cooper. I think defensively they got a lot of holes, and it didn't get any better when they traded Khalil Mack away. So that was a business decision. They didn't want to pay him basically $22 million a year to be a pass rushing specialist. I think more than that, he's a really great football player, but they figured that the money could be spent elsewhere. John Gruden's got a 10-year contract. They've got time. And they need a lot of help on defense, and maybe they can use those picks. So that was the decision. And I think John Gruden was completely behind the decision. So he just saying that that's not the way to build a football team, putting that much money in one player on defense.
Well, the Bears were willing to do it, and they've got a young quarterback, Mitch Trubisky, who's going to start at Lambeau Field Sunday night against Aaron Rodgers and the Pack. It's a top-heavy division for me. I'm never really that fond of Detroit. The Bears, I still don't think they're going to compete. I love the Vikings. I love the Packers. But do you feel like with Mack and if Trubisky shows something, the Bears, do they have a shot this year in the NFC North?
Yeah, I do. I think that Vic Fangio, you know, with the defense that was decimated by injuries last year, was a top-10 defense a year ago. I'm anxious to see, you know, Roquan Smith and Leonard Floyd and Khalil Mack all in there together. I think they're going to be a really good defense. They may not be this weekend, but I think they're going to be a really good defense and a chance to be a top-5 defense. And anytime you can keep the score under 20 points, under 17 points on a given day, your team's going to have a chance to win. And I think Chicago's going to have a lot of chances to win this year.
We're looking forward to it. Enjoy the rest of week one, Brian. We'll do it again down the road. Thanks, man.
All right, my pleasure, guys. Anytime.
There's Brian Baldinger, longtime NFLer and current NFL Network analyst.